They had the atonement, the old covenant, but in the New Testament it says you have the remission of sins. Remission means wiped away, washed out, forgotten about, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You don't have an expiration date.
Amen.
You apply the blood of the Old Testament, it was good for a year. You apply the blood of Jesus, it's good forever.
Amen.
Just like your prayers have no expiration date. They're deathless.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on.
Prayers outlive the life of the prayer. You better be praying for your grandkids that aren't born yet, your great-grandkids that aren't born yet, your great-great-grandkids that aren't born yet, because when you die, those prayers will still be working. So all of heaven is watching the earth all the time, looking for a man or a woman that's going to use the Word of God, that's going to speak the Word of God, that's going to move on the Word of God. And when they do, heaven moves.
Hello, everyone. Welcome today to Terry Mize Ministries' More Than Conquerors program. We, as always, are just thrilled, honored, delighted to be there with you. And we just want to share with you some awesome things that we know from the Word of God that we've proven that work. Amen?
Absolutely.
I mean, we know that they work, and many of you do as well. But we've been talking about the five smooth stones out of 1 Samuel 17, that we know that David the shepherd boy picks five smooth stones up out of the river and used one of those to slay the Goliath, the enemy of Israel.
Yes, absolutely.
Where he had threatened like the big bad wolf, you know, we're going to come and we're going to take you all out. We're going to feed your bodies to the fowls of the air, and you're going to serve us. And David just came back and had some astounding things to say. And he used, Terry, you know, these topics that we find that what these stones that we've been working on to get to into people's hands that give you an awareness, you know, a reminder of what you have in heaven's cachet of weapons to fight hell back with. I mean, if the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, then they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's even slaying giants, slaying the enemies of Israel if you have to.
Absolutely.
And we are certainly in a day and time where danger is lurking almost at every corner. The nation of Israel itself is fighting a war against those that are determined to destroy them and kill them. So we need to go even more to the Word of God, Terry, Old Testament and New Testament.
Of course, of course. Where else would you go?
Yeah, and pull out the weapons of our warfare and begin to pray with them and use them and the wisdom of God to show you how to fight. Now, on the last program we just did, we talked about the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And that was the first.
Well, we talked about the name of Jesus, and we talked about all those other names of God as well.
Names of God from the Old Testament to the New Covenant based on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And today we want to deal with the other, one of those other smooth stones called the blood of Jesus. And it's the blood covenant.
Yes.
Talking a lot in different churches that we've been in, how God's covenants are eternal.
Yes.
And they span from Old Testament to New Testament. And they're for every generation that wants to receive from the promises of God.
Well, they're multi-generational. When God cut the covenant, whether it's the one he cut with Adam, or the one he cut with Noah,
right,
or the one he cut with Abraham,
right,
or getting on up where he cut the one he cut with Jesus, they weren't good just for 3 weeks or just for 2 days,
right,
or just for you and alone or just for you and your son, but he said, right. He said, for you and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. So the covenants have no expiration date.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
And they're multi-generational. They cross from Old Testament to New without any problem. It just doesn't matter whether you're before the cross or after the cross. You still got that covenant. Which a lot of people don't understand that. But, you know, even in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it says, Revelation 12 says, they overcame him.
Yes.
They, the people of God, overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's always going to be important to use the blood. You know, I was so saddened. You and I were in Charlotte a few weeks ago. And ministering to great, dear, wonderful church, friends of ours, Pastor Marlon Gould and Victory Christian Center, great church.
But, and I just want to insert here, the blessings of longevity and of tenure and of faithfulness is you've been preaching in that church for over 40 years.
Probably that long.
Since 1982 or 83 when they were in the Holiday Inn.
They were in the Holiday Inn first time I preached for them. Yeah, that was a long, long time ago.
And Marlon, when we were there, Marlon and I were sitting beside each other while you were preaching, and she said, it's been 40, over 40. Wow. She said that he's been preaching here.
My.
She said, we still call him our apostle.
They do. They've done that for a long, long time. And they know how to pull on you to get the anointing out of you and to cooperate with you. You know, when you preach to a congregation, if they pull on you or draw on you or make a demand on you, in other words, they respond a lot. Like you say something, they say amen or praise the Lord. The more they respond, I believe the more they get out of it. I believe the more the Holy Spirit will move. And I'm not talking about just somebody that talks all during church or something, but I'm talking about when they're really listening and they're responding, they're saying, yeah, that's right.
Or to be seen of people.
Right.
Yeah.
But no, it's the name and the blood. And last week we talked a lot about the name.
Yes.
And so this week we'll talk about the blood. But you know, I was so saddened. I was going to say before you started that other last conversation, we were in Charlotte speaking for Victory. And there's another group, church in Charlotte, big church, famous church, well-known church.
Right.
TV pastor, very well-known, very, very famous, good guy. But I was so saddened that while we were there, it was the week before Easter, Holy Week, they ran several ads in town saying, come to our Easter service. And we have decided not to use three words. We have decided not to say the blood of Jesus.
Right.
We have decided not to say the resurrection, and we've decided not to say the cross of Calvary. So they said, I'm thinking, how can you have a resurrection Sunday without saying the resurrection? Yeah. They said, we're not going to say resurrection, we're not going to say Calvary, and we're not going to say blood.
Right.
And I thought, how can you do that? You know, they said, well, we don't want people, visitors, to feel uncomfortable. But you know, Renee, the crucifixion should make you uncomfortable.
It should.
When you ought to go back and watch Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. That'll make you uncomfortable. The torture Jesus endured, he went through, the having his back ripped open with the cat of nine tails until his backbone was visible and his intestines hanging out.
I mean, penalty of sin.
The crown of thorns and the spear in the side. Jesus paid a price for us. That torture should make you uncomfortable.
That's right.
You should be ever eternally grateful for the price Jesus paid.
It should soften
that he paid it for you. But I didn't understand how a church could say, well, we're not going to mention the blood, we're not going to mention the resurrection, we're not going to mention Calvary or the cross of Calvary. And I thought, how is that possible on Resurrection Sunday?
How do you explain redemption? You know, the whole concept of redemption and righteousness and the goodness of God in that when we were, you know, dead in our sin, Christ died for us.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the hope of that in your life is just, it's stunning. It's priceless.
Well, you know, and Hebrews 9, it says it's neither by the blood of goats and calves.
Yeah.
Nowadays, in the Old Testament, it was by the blood of goats and calves. But now it's by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews chapter 9.
Hebrews chapter 9. You know, in Hebrews.
In that particular verse is verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Wow.
We want to put that up on the screen for you on this particular program, because it's so important for people to understand, Terry, in this day and time, that even though Christianity gets accused of being a bloody religion,
it is,
but it's based on a once and for all
one time act.
One time that the Lord Jesus suffered through his death, his burial, and then rose again in his resurrection, that the blood, this is one of those five smooth stones, this is another cachet of all the things that the Bible has to say about how a blood covenant with Almighty God, Terry,
absolutely
redeems us.
And people don't really understand covenants today. You know, third world nations, primitive peoples, have always cut blood covenants.
Yes, they have.
I mean, they may not be able to read and write, but they know what a blood covenant is.
Right.
Even the mafia had blood covenants in Italy and here in America as well. And if you violated that blood covenant, they'd kill you.
Yeah, right.
As would the tribes in Africa, as would the, in India, as would other tribes around the world. They understand once you cut blood covenant, then it's a done deal forever.
That's right.
And that's why God said to Abraham, I will establish my covenant between thee, me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant. But it goes on to say, it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Hallelujah.
How much more the blood of Jesus?
How much more?
I tell you, the blood of Jesus, it's got some weight to it. God weighed it in those 3 days that Jesus was
right
in the tomb.
Something?
Yeah.
He weighed the blood.
He weighed the blood. And after 3 days, God said, that's enough.
Oh, my goodness.
That's enough. Let him go.
When I was in Bible college, Dean and I, a long time ago, our first year in Bible college was the fall of 1966. And as we went through school, they always taught us, Terry, that the book of Hebrews, they gave it a name and called it the better book, the better covenant.
Yeah.
Because Hebrews explains how we have a better covenant.
Yes,
now, based on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's exactly what that verse is saying. That it's a better covenant.
Oh, yeah.
It's
absolutely
more thorough, redemptive covenant. It's the ultimate covenant. It's the ultimate remission of sins.
Not atonement, it absolutely is. In fact, it says right here in this chapter in Hebrews, verse 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
There is no remission.
Remission means the washing away or the wiping away or the totally blotting out. It doesn't exist anymore of our sins. See, in the Old Testament, they had the atonement for sins, which means they had a covenant that expired in a year. They had it for 1 year, the covering up of their sins.
Right.
And the priest would put the blood on the goat. He called it a scapegoat's head and symbolically transferring the sins of Israel. And then it's all the sins of the people on this goat. And then it says he turned it loose in the wilderness to be eaten of the wild animals. And so for 1 year, your sins were covered, atoned. But I hear a lot of preachers stand in the pulpit today, and I hear a lot of Christians today say, oh, we've got the blood of the atonement. We've got the atonement. No, you don't. Your sins aren't covered up. Your sins are washed away. In the New Testament, the Old Testament says you've got atonement. The New Testament says you have the remission of sins. The remission of sins means if you brought it up to God and said, hey, remember that sin I did last week? He'd say, no. Not if you repented of it. He didn't remember it because it doesn't exist.
Right.
He's going to say, well, where is that in the book? Where is that? I mean, I did it 3 weeks ago. I mean, no, it's not here because it's the remission of sins. And it says by the almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission.
Hallelujah.
So people have yelled at me for decades overseas. You Americans are a bloody people. You've got a bloody religion. You've got a bloody God. And I say, yep. You're right, we do.
And we own up to it.
We own up to it because without that shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
That's just so, spectacular in that. It's just mind-boggling, the covenant that we have. And I would encourage you all the time to go study, if not take the rest of the month or wherever you are, whenever you hear this, and take a couple of weeks and read slowly through the book of Hebrews. Go read the Gospel of John. Go look at Psalm 103.
Yes, yes, yes.
That says, He forgiveth all and He healeth all.
Yes.
And that it's all in the covenant because of the blood of Jesus, that we have this relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't for the blood.
No, He paid for us.
If it wasn't for the blood, we would have no legal right to approach the throne of heaven.
Of course not.
Not even to pray. Not even to ask for mercy. Not even to ask for wisdom on any level. If it wasn't for the blood.
Right.
If it wasn't
even
for the blood.
Even the Old Testament blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews 10 tells us in verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins.
It is not possible.
See, God said, well, after Adam sinned and messed this whole thing up, because we were supposed to all live in the Garden of Eden forever.
Right.
You know, God told Adam and Eve, have babies, multiply and be fruitful. I'll come down every day and walk with you
that
in the cool of the day. And
the
there's no sickness, there's no sin, there's no tears, there's no sorrow.
Yeah.
You know, there's no curse, there's no nothing. And when Adam messed that up, then God had to immediately cut a covenant, and so He killed animals. Up until that point, they hadn't eaten animals; they'd just eaten the plants.
Yeah.
And but God killed the first animals and made them clothes out of it.
Right.
Probably mink. You know, who knows? But made them clothes out of it, and so that blood was shed there, and covenant was made. And then all through the Word of God, there'd be a covenant. God got covenant with Moses. God got covenant with Noah when he came out of the ark in Genesis 8 and said, as long as time remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. Right. There'll be heat and cold. There'll be night and day. There'll be summer and winter. Those are immutable laws. Immutable means incapable of change. They can't change. It'll always be. As long as time remains, we'll have summer and winter, hot and cold, day and night, and seed time and harvest.
That's just phenomenal. All of those things, and if you'll pay attention to it, you'll put down on the inside of you, Terry, a faith in God.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That does not depend on the natural realm, but only on the blood of Jesus. And it's that blood that causes us, and like in Hebrews it says too, the same thing, that the blood cries out.
Oh, yeah.
That the blood speaks.
Sure.
The blood in heaven.
Well, and God said to Cain, said, you've killed your brother Abel, and his blood cries to me from the ground. So the blood does speak.
And when you realize that it's there crying mercy, what Hebrews says, that it's the mercy.
Yeah.
That it's that ability that when you lean to the blood of Jesus, I mean, the blood does so many, the blood of Jesus, we want to make sure you're understanding, we're talking about the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins in His death and His burial and His resurrection. There Isaiah 53, Psalm 103, we're talking about all these things in Hebrews from the covenant sake, but this is, it's like those five smooth stones. I want to make sure everybody understands it. We're using these five smooth stones as an analogy to show you probably the five large categories of weapons caches that you have
sure.
to fight hell with. It's like we had five giant warehouses, and one was called the name, the blood, the next the word, the next the covenant, the next the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of these things are just endless resources of how to use them.
Absolutely.
To receive the benefits of your salvation.
Sure.
Your authority.
Which none of that would have been necessary had Adam not sinned and we got kicked out of the garden.
Right.
Right? We were still there. We wouldn't have needed the blood. We wouldn't need the Bible. We wouldn't need the church. God was just going to come down every day and walk with us and talk with us in the cool of the day, and it'd just be lovely. But when Adam messed up, God had to immediately go into a new program, same plan, but different program, different method.
Right.
And then just all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament, we see about the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And Hebrews just keeps telling us all this.
Right.
And verse 16 says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and their minds. On their minds will I write them." In verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." And then the next verse says, "Now having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the what? Blood of Jesus." As you said a while ago, if it wasn't for Jesus' blood, we couldn't go into the Holy of Holies.
We couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies.
It'd kill you.
To have this kind of unrighteousness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come face to face with that kind of righteousness.
Oh, absolutely.
Would kill us all. But because we're washed in the blood, we're washed in the blood of Jesus, then that blood covenant that we have with Him allows us to come boldly to the throne of grace there in Hebrews 4.
Absolutely.
I just find that phenomenal. We want you to make your calling, your election sure. We want you to rejoice in the joy of your salvation so that you know all these wonderful things that you have. And I know many of you already know these things, but this is a checkup from the neck up. This is to make sure you're thinking about it right. You know, what's that scripture over there in 2 Corinthians you quote so often to, examine yourself?
2 Corinthians 5:13
says that examine yourself to see whether you're still in the faith or not. And if you don't know these scriptures and you don't know how to fight hell with the blood, the blood of Jesus, Terry, it says it washes you, it cleanses you, it causes you to have a word that you're able to go.
Yeah, I did that backwards. It's 13:5, not 5:13.
Second Corinthians 13:5. And that
examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Whether you
prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, that how Jesus Christ is in you,
right,
except you be reprobates.
Oh my goodness. See, there's always that checking, policing on the inside of you to make sure you're really believing the covenant. You're standing on the covenant, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a protection, you know, that if you put the blood on the doorpost of your house, and like the Israelites did in Egypt,
yes,
their children did not die. Their oldest child did not die. If you put the blood, you know, over your life, then the hell won't transgress
right
over that.
Right.
I mean, it's just a powerful, powerful tool in the hands of a Christian.
Well, let's go ahead and follow our theme before we run out of time here, but how you use this. And so we've used my hitchhiker story that happened 50 years ago now as an example, although lots of other examples we could give, lots of miracles, raising the dead, all kind of things that God's used me to do over the many, many years. But the hitchhiker story is a real good example because of me using those five smooth stones.
Exactly.
Because whenever he stuck the gun in my ribs, we talked about last week, that I said, the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you.
Right.
And then I immediately went to the blood and said, by the blood of the covenant and the covenant of blood, blood. I've got the bloodline around me. I've got the bloodline around my car. Devil, you can't cross the bloodline. And every time I still pray today, Renee, we put the bloodline and we put the bloodline around us, put the bloodline around our kids, our grandkids, around our property, around, you know, our staff, our office. Because that blood is so real, and hell can't cross that. The devil can't cross that. Not if you know how to do it. Now you can just say, "I paid the blood." Just like people say, "Well, I'm blessed and highly favored,"
careless.
Saying things out of your head instead of out of your spirit.
Yeah, don't be careless with this.
So it needs to be. It needs to be the blood of the covenant.
Yeah.
And the covenant
very
of
specific,
blood.
Sincere.
Pastor called me. Good friend. Pastor called me yesterday from another state. And told me that he'd been diagnosed with cancer of the prostate. And just as he was talking to me about it, I just started praying. I didn't even say, "Let's pray." I just started praying. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, Father, by the blood of the covenant and the covenant of blood, I minister healing to him in the name of Jesus, by the covenant of God, the blood of Jesus, the word of God that declares himself bore our infirmities and carried our sickness, sorrows." And I just immediately started in with the name, the blood, and the word. And then this is the covenant. We have covenant together. He's a partner of mine. Father, I have covenant with you over my partners. We pray over our partners every day and multiple times a day. And I have covenant with you over our partners to keep them and bless them, spirit, soul, body, family, finances, home, and ministry. The blessings of God overcome them, overtake them, follow them around, and then end it all up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the one that's going to have to do this. You're the one that's going to have to put this all together.
Yes.
So we always come back to the name, to the blood, the word, the covenant, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I guess we're out of time again.
But we want you to get this. We're staying on this till we feel like the Holy Ghost is through with it for the time being. But we want you to get this, that all these wonderful things that you have to put in your arsenal and strike hell right in the
Well, these are just reminders. I just think it's neat to have them on the desk. So you come in and sit at the desk, you see, oh, there's the name and the blood and the word and the covenant and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Do a checklist. Yeah, amen. That's right. Well, all this is to help you remember one more time that you are
more than conquerors.
Bye-bye.
Do it.
Did you ever think that God's sitting on high, looking down on you and dishonoring, disrespecting, not thinking much about you? You know, God said to me when I was just a teenager, He said, I told Joshua to do three things, that if he'd do those three things, that he would prosper and be healthy. At that time, I'd never heard anybody in my church talk about prosperity. I'd never talk about anybody being successful. And God said, if you'll do those same three things, you will be prosperous, you will be successful. And so I immediately went to Joshua 1:8 to see what God told Joshua. And He said, talk like God, think like God, act like God. If you'll do those three things, you will be prosperous and you will have great success. It absolutely changed my life and it'll change your life. God said, don't let anything from this book of the law not depart from your mouth. Don't let anything come out your mouth but the word. In other words, talk like God. Then He said, meditate that day and night. I mean, not once in a while, not twice a day, but He said all the time, meditate the Word of God day and night. And thirdly, He said that you may observe to do, or to be a doer of the Word, to do according to all that's written therein. And then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. That was just before I went into the mission fields permanently as an 18-year-old kid, and it changed my life. And I've been all over the world, lived in the jungles, lived in the desert, lived everywhere, watched God do miracles, and He's prospered me and made me successful, kept me healthy, saved me. He'll do the same thing for you. Get in the Word today and do those three things.
In this powerful best-selling mini book, God's Opinion of You, Terry Mize explains biblical foundations on how to receive and use the authority God has given you. A mini book that fits in your pocket, but packs a big punch. You'll learn to see yourself how God sees you. Righteous, blessed, more than a conqueror. Get your copy today at terrymize.com.
He just kept telling me that he was going to kill me. And I kept telling him that he was not. I said, God, if he pulls the trigger, my job is to believe your word, and your job is to do something about the bullet.